everybody. Welcome back. Welcome back to Stop Telling Me to Relax. My name is Veronica. I am the host of this podcast. I'm here with a New York native, single mother, a six-year-old son. Recently did the relocation thing kind of to the suburbs, but we'll talk about that in a minute. So I'm going to toss it over to Nikki and she can go ahead and introduce herself and we can get started.
Yes. I've been with him on my own for about 2.5 years, close to 3 now. But and it's really been, you know, it's
a journey. Boys are fun. Boys are there. Like my family has a lot of girls, and I'm very, and just me and my nature is very like calm and kind of dainty. And my son, when he was born, he's just all boy, like rough and like loud. Like I was like, whoa, it's an adjustment. Okay, let's get started. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? You know, grew up in the city of New York on the East Coast, and just tell us a little bit about yourself, your life, your work, sure. all of those things.
Sure. So I was raised by a single mom. Lived in Long Island my entire life in New York. And then when I was in college and really until 2.5 years ago, did not think I would ever leave New York. And so was raised by my mom, and then we moved into Brooklyn when I was in college, and then I lived in Brooklyn for about 25 years, you know, until a couple of years ago when post-pandemic, just didn't feel like home anymore. I, you know, kind of my ex and I, my son's dad, decided to part ways, and we were already on the journey to move. So I just, when we decided to split, I didn't stop that. That was my goal. I thought it was still best for my kiddo and I to get on out of the city. So that's what we did. You know, no reason to stop because there's a hiccup.
Yeah. Gotta keep it moving. You said it didn't feel, Brooklyn or New York didn't feel the same post-pandemic. This is my understanding. Obviously, I don't live in New York. I've only visited once. But I know I've seen things online about the gentrification of certain neighborhoods like Brooklyn. Did that contribute to maybe part of the reason why you wanted to move? No.
No, it really, I would say there was a lot more of just, or felt less family. And so where pre-pandemic and pre-baby, I had more of a village, you know, I had a circle of friends. But during the pandemic, a lot of my crew who also had kids, who are my kids' ages, they moved out of the city. So the get-togethers became less and less frequent. I would have to come to see one of them wherever they were. I would say the circle of friends that I had, where we were initially kind of all in the same boat, changed.
Yeah. Do you feel like COVID contributed to people wanting to move out of the city?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. There was really no reason to stay in it.
And,
you could be outside and have a backyard and not have to worry about anything. But yeah, it was really just perfect time because we were all inside. So if you were going to venture out, that was a time. And there were also, you know, all kinds of financial benefits to that being the time that people moved out.
Yeah.
You know, the housing market.
Yeah. Makes sense. A lot of people, I know here in California, a lot of where I live in the Central Valley, a lot of people from, it's kind of right, you know, like in the middle of the state, a few hours from San Francisco and a few hours from LA. And during COVID, a lot of people from those areas moved to the Valley just because cost of living, it's a little bit cheaper here than in some of the big metropolitan areas. They moved because they're like, I can do my job anywhere. Why am I living in this condo in downtown LA and paying this, you know, outrageous amount for rent? Why don't I just move somewhere that's cheaper and I can have more room and things like that? So I know a lot of people, I think people probably did that everywhere. Just, it was a total
shock.
It's wild that, I mean, I COVID and maybe 9/11 are like the two big things that have happened like in this country for me, at least for people my age, that like totally changed everything. Like people's lives totally changed. It's just wild to think like if that hadn't happened, what would life be like? You know, I don't know.
Yeah, imagine that, right?
Yeah, wild. Okay. So you grew up in New York. What did you love about the city? I'm fascinated with New York. I couldn't live there because it's way too cold. but visited once. I plan on visiting again and at some point and doing a big full trip because the first time I was only there a few days. But it's just, it looks, it's just amazing. So what did you love about New York City? Because I know we talked
about it. I grew up in Long Island, but on the train, it's a half hour away from New York City. So okay. It was a super easy commute. And actually, mm-hmm. that's what helped me to decide to move where I live now, because it also has a super easy commute. And I like the flexibility of getting mm-hmm. in and out of the city. But really, mm-hmm. like, the city is a playground.
Yeah.
You know, and you can really get and find whatever you want. I was always super interested in the arts, so that was really accessible. Everything mm-hmm. is accessible. So any yeah. interest, and I love it because as a mom, you can expose your kids to everything, which I think yeah. is important.
Absolutely.
Let them decide, but mm-hmm. but there's no shortage of things to expose them to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's kind of how it was for me growing up, because I grew up in up in Northern California, in the Bay Area, right outside mm-hmm. of San Francisco.
Nice,
so it was
nice.
Like a 25, you know, maybe 30 minutes like drive, or you can take the BART into the city. And, you know, it was just now being an adult reflecting, like I was exposed to so much culture yeah. and just diversity and just so many things that, you know, I feel like where I live now and the people that grew up here now, that's okay. People that grew up here, like my friends that I know that grew up here, they are like, they're not as like cultured. It's a little bit more suburban, and I don't know.
But yeah,
I just, you know, it's amazing to have to see all those things as a child and be in
yeah. this kind of. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
But also as a parent now, because I know that it's, you know, it can happen. You know, I mean, as a parent, if maybe I wasn't so exposed to those things and to the different interests that I have as a kid,
yeah.
you know, I might not still care about them. I might not see the world the way that I do. And mm-hmm. so I certainly want that to be the experience that my son has.
Yeah.
But I mean, we moved because I just kind of stopped feeling it. I didn't have my crew. You know, it's kind of lonely
yeah.
in the city.
Yeah.
As many people are there.
Yeah.
It's starting to feel lonely.
Yeah. And I think too, I don't know, as you get older, your priorities kind of start to change too. You know, you just like, you know, just being in a lot of traffic or just certain, like, not that anything's wrong with anything, but it's just like, oh, I just want to like just somewhere that's quieter. I don't know. It's just, you know.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, it sounds like you've got it all set up. You can get into the city when you want to. And
we love it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any, I don't know. This is probably like such a corny question. What would be the word I look like quintessential, like, New York stories, like growing up, anything super memorable that happened that was like, oh,
I mean,
like,
and you know, this is the holiday time. My mom and I used to so I would always go to work with her, you know, whatever day or so before Christmas, mm-hmm. we would leave work half day. We would go have lunch and then we would go for a hansom cab ride around Central Park.
Oh, fun. Sounds amazing.
So we used to do that. It was always super cold. I remember that. We would go to the tree at Rockefeller Center,
yeah.
you know, like the massive
yeah.
tree that they are now air on yeah. NBC or something. We would do that. I feel like we skated a couple times, but that wasn't really my vibe.
Yeah.
And then we would go, so that's really close to Fifth Avenue. And then we would go and look at the lights and the design, the window design, all the holiday design in the windows on Fifth Avenue.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
And then we would go home. Like, Lord and Taylor was our last stop, which doesn't even exist anymore.
It's Lord and Taylor.
Lord and Taylor was a, like, kind of high-end department store. Probably, like, Nordstrom.
Oh, got it.
Bloomingdale's, yeah.
And they're not in business anymore?
Nope.
Wow, that's
Yeah, I know.
These businesses are shutting down. San Francisco has, like, a Union Square in the... not as big as Rockefeller Center, but there was always like a tree lighting ceremony. We'd go every year. It was always the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
We'd go out there. And then they had a beautiful, huge Macy's in Union Square. And they shut it down. I'm like, heartbreaking. Because Macy's is shutting stores. And I don't know the details, but like that one of them that they chose to shut down. And I'm like, oh my, yeah, it's heartbreaking. I haven't been back there since because I'm like, I don't want to see, you know, there's no Macy's. There's no, it's just not hustle and bustle like it used to be. You know, it's
totally different. It's totally different. But that was definitely like holiday times were always kind of myself and my first cousins who we were like all really close growing up. And that was just kind of, once we went home, I knew like Santa was coming, so to speak.
Yeah.
So it was just exciting. You know? So yeah, so it's nice to have all those kind of New York memories, and we'll still create some.
Yeah.
Close into as much as possible.
Yeah. That's like, yeah, all of every single one of my friends that like, if New York's on their bucket list to visit, they're like, I want to go during Christmas, Times Square, or not Times Square, Rockefeller Center. Like, everybody is like, that's something they have to do in their life, but you can plan on doing.
Avoid Times Square if you can.
Yeah, but, no, I've been to Times Square. It's like, it's fine, but it's very busy and lots going on. It's chaotic. It's like, it's a tourist trap. It's like Hollywood Boulevard.
Yep, exactly.
All right, well, thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
So let's get into the...
The meat.
The nitty gritty. Let's talk about meeting your ex-partner, your son's father, and what was that relationship like from the beginning, you know, through deciding to have
We met online, and, you know, it was fun. So before I met him, I tried for about a year to get pregnant on my own as a single mom.
Okay.
I was late 30s and really just kind of heard something on the news about, was it like post 37, 36 or 37? Pregnancies are considered geriatric, you know, and it's more difficult. Yeah. And I was like, what? Nobody told me that. Like, because it wasn't even a conversation that I had with my doctor, who I saw once or twice a year. You know, no one ever told me that.
Oh.
And I wasn't with a partner. I knew I wanted a partner, but he wasn't there. And when I got kind of the dates, you know, mm-hmm. and the age range, which would be more and more challenging, I was like, okay, well, then I'm just going to do this on my own. And I prayed about it. I thought about it. And I was like, let's go. And so then I was in it. I did artificial insemination for 6 months.
Okay.
And that did not work. Then I did one cycle of IVF and got pregnant. And then I had a loss about 4 months in, and I had just told people. I think like 2 weeks later, you know, I suffered a loss. But because I was 4.5 months, something like that, approaching 5, I had to like do a full surgery for removal, like of the specimen and all. You know, so that was really tough.
Yeah.
Because as I was kind of going through it and everything was just like, okay, giving myself shots, rolling, you know, I thought it was just supposed to work because it seemed like it was working. But then after that loss, I really wasn't sure if I could go through that again.
Yeah.
So then I was going to just give myself a break and, you know, was on the apps. I'm like, I can date, like, whatever. Just like get my mind off of this. Yeah. I'm going to try it within a year. But in the meantime, I'll go out on some dates, whatever.
Yeah.
And then I met my ex, and he was funny. We had a lot in common. He was also raised by a single mom.
Okay.
Yeah, he was just a good time. He was just cool. And he had also been married young, but he was married young. And in that marriage, they suffered several losses.
Okay.
So when I was talking to him about it, he just knew the language. So there was also comfort there.
Yeah.
And when I would go to doctor's appointments and be kind of, you know, sad about whatever my doctor was telling me, which wasn't much about why that happened to me, he would also be like, okay, well, why don't you ask the doctor this? So it was just, you know, it was just a nice understanding and not someone just looking at you like, you know.
Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, stop crying now. Can we move on? So that was just lovely. I mean, you know, we had a lot in common, so that was great, but that wasn't something that was off the table for me to talk about with him.
Yeah, nice.
And we were together for not long, 9 or 10 months. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to, you know, this was kind of what I was doing. This was my journey. So if you don't want to have a kid, I totally understand. Mm-hmm. But then, like, let's just be done. And he was like, well, I didn't say that. You know, so then we kind of decided together that we were going to try. And then, I mean, we did. It kind of happened right away.
So you conceived your son naturally, or was it through?
Yeah. And really, I'd never. So before me trying to have a kid, that makes me think about timing more than anything. So I went online and found a sperm donor, and the sperm donor was going to be anonymous. But you know, and really it's like, you know, picking the flavor ice cream.
Do you know what he looked like though? Like, you had information? Yeah,
on the website for the agency that I used, they had kitty pictures. There were three pictures of him as a child. And I think I like got down to about three potential sperm donors.
Huh.
You know, and you get some medical history, you get, you know, everyone goes through a series of tests, genetic tests, you know, and if there's something that is alarming, they let you know. But I mean, yeah, like I was able to see kitty pictures for the top three, okay. You know, and so kind of select, you know, had a dinner date with two of my best friends, and we went online, you know, Chinese food and
checklist. Yes. No.
Like, it was, you know, it's just kind of, you know, because that's what girls will do.
Well, yes. Yeah. We'll whittle it down to all the facts, everything we know, and choose a winner.
So I did that and then selected. And then, you know, again, so did the artificial insemination, and it was just like not working for all of the things that my doctor said, like, this guy was a good candidate. It wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
But even through that process, it was pretty easy. You know, my doctor really talked to me about everything and walked me through every step. So as someone kind of going through the process for the research I did, you know, for as much of it as I tried to learn beforehand, my doctor was amazing. And even like my, you know, my team of doctors were amazing. And they were equally shocked when I suffered loss from the IVF.
Yeah.
It was all the same. Sorry.
Well,
but it also makes me think that it really is a business, you know, and like any other business, it's great if you have the right team members in place,
right?
You know, and folks who are really supporting you. Yeah. Folks who are really supporting you and want to see this happen for you. But it does. There are elements of it that feel like you're just kind of moving through a machine.
What was your family's reaction or your friends? Was anybody like, what are you doing? That's weird.
No, like I said, I told two of my besties, and then, you know, they were like, great, let's do this. But we were all kind of in it because I am like 3 or 4 years older than them.
Okay.
But I've got also some super close friends who I'm like 1 year apart. Mm-hmm. But they already have their kids. They already had their kids. But the ones who were also kind of going through, you know, family planning, they are about 3 or 4 years older than me. And they were also kind of thinking about what they would have to do in order to, you know, kind of plan this out, you know, for their next steps. So, I mean, everyone was really fine because it was just, you know, a different way to kind of get to the destination.
What they want.
Yeah, it really wasn't.
Yeah.
No one really said anything. I mean, from my family, when I was going through IVF and through IUI, I only told my mom.
Okay.
Yeah. Just because I didn't want people.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, you know, it's just, I didn't want to have a conversation every time I saw them. I didn't want phone calls every week. How's it going? That's just not my personality. Like, I'm ready, I'll tell you.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I can imagine it can be emotionally taxing to, one, you know, go through the medical process of it all. But then if it doesn't. And everybody knows you're going through that. But then if it doesn't work, or then it's like you're having to have that conversation about the disappointment over and over and over again. Like, I wouldn't want to do that. I would. Yeah.
Yeah. No, no. Yeah. No. I mean, and when I had it the one time, it was bad. So the other, you know, so that was also a consideration for me. If I was going to do another cycle, how much of that was I going to share? All of it. Certainly tell my mom. But beyond that, I didn't know.
Yeah.
I was gonna share it with anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Okay. So you and your partner at the time decided you're gonna go ahead and try for a child. It was successful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did the relationship change after you found out you were having a child, or when did the shift come? Was it after?
The relationship actually got a lot richer. You know, we got a lot closer. Was super involved and super attentive throughout my pregnancy, which was great. Yeah, I mean, and even once my son was born, my son was in the hospital for almost a month when he was first born. He had meconium in his lung, and that was just a super high stress time.
Oh yeah.
But I felt supported. I felt okay because really, you know, he was here, so he was the priority. But it didn't take long before I didn't feel super supported.
From what I've heard, once the kind of amazingness of the having the baby wears off and the real like work starts, and sort of change.
Yeah. You know, we didn't have him home, like I said, for almost a month. So it was almost like, when's he coming? When's he coming? And then it was like, why are you sleeping? I'm awake.
Yeah.
Always.
Oh, there's dishes over there that need to be, you know, cleaned and other things. And I'm sitting here breastfeeding like, you're not.
Yeah, what's happening?
I get it. Okay. Looking back now, and this is everybody that I asked this question is like, it's kind of a dumb question. Not a dumb question, but it's like, were there red flags for you prior to deciding to have a child? And then did you feel like you just overlooked them because you wanted to have a baby and you wanted that family?
I didn't overlook them because if he was not interested in doing this, it was still really important to me. I turned 40 in the first year of us dating. So if I didn't do it then, I was certainly not, in my opinion. And maybe, you know, I would have had more time.
Mm-hmm.
But in my opinion, I certainly didn't want to take that gamble to wait until I until I turned 41 to then start trying.
Yeah.
That was not, that was not an option for me. And he knew that. And so it was just, but I mean, we had a conversation and decided to go forward. I mean, but he told me, I would say like in the first year with our son being here that, you know, he would have waited. But I mean, I wasn't.
Men can wait. We can't wait.
I wasn't waiting. That wasn't an option for me. So.
It wasn't.
So it's, you know.
It's amazing to me. And I hate to like, I'm not trying to male bash. There are great men out there. But like,
Just of course.
Men think about life and certain decisions and things very differently. You know, we are much more on a lot of the things that we, you know, the big events in life are kind of structured by, I don't know, at least pregnancy, like time, like you only have until, you know, a certain age to have a child and you can't do it or, you know, unless you, well, then you can't do it. You can't do it.
Challenges.
There's challenges. Yeah. And they just live they see the world from a very different view just because of maybe the grace society gives them or. You know,
yeah, I think
there's several reasons.
Yeah, yeah, their priorities are different, and they're not as determined by time.
Right. So
I think that a lot of their priorities or the order of things are determined by, you know, financial goals or you know, professional goals or you know, things like that.
Yeah.
They certainly are for women, absolutely.
Yeah,
but also, you know, this third circle that we have to kind of like. Somehow get in the middle of at the right time. And it's never the right time, honestly.
Never. That's what I was telling my friend, because him and his wife are like, oh, we're going to start planning it out or whatever. And granted, you definitely don't want to go the route. What happened with me was like whoops, accident, like 24, not planning at all to have a child anytime soon, but it happened. That's one thing. But like, also like, if you kind of already have a lot of things in place, you've got the jobs, the house, the, you know, the finances, money coming in, like whatever, like just do it. You're never going to be ready. Like what the change of having a baby, you can't prepare for it.
There is no preparation.
Just do it when you feel
read what you can.
Yeah. Read what you can. And you don't want to wait too long either, because then, you know, you may have some fertility issues on either side, you know, so just, so just try to, just do it. If you want one, and you have things in place, just do it. Yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. When you were doing your fertility journey, did you have did you reach out for like were there Facebook groups you could join and like have support?
Did not go that route at all. However, when I did have my pregnancy lost, joined a support group.
Okay.
So in my job, everything is in a schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And everything I plan out is in a schedule. So that is really how I think. I think 3 months ahead, 6 months ahead, nine, next year and a half. So that really is how I think about everything as a baseline. So same with the pregnancy, same when the baby's due date was, you know, same with okay, then I'll be out of work at this time. I'll be coming back at this time. We'll celebrate that, you know. So mm-hmm. all of those things that I had planned out in my mind were kind of making me a little bit crazy. Once I was back at work and I would have a terrible day, I would be like, I'm not even supposed to be here. Like, it was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
So I needed to get to a support group because I was also like, I mean, you know, it's like just not pleasant to be around.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot.
I'm like, ooh, I'll curse somebody out. It's my job. Let's not do that.
That makes me think two things. It's a, like, I don't think that society sees like pregnancy loss as like a death or like, but it's a death. It's even if the child is, or even if, you know, you were only 3 months along, 4 months along, and it wasn't a fully grown baby or whatever. Yeah, it's a death. It's a loss. And you have all these dreams in your head about this child and, you know, it doesn't work out and it's devastating. But also I think too, like, and I can assume you worked in a, what was a more like corporate space, that even if it's not male dominated, the structure or the way that it's supposed to function is like how males operate. So like something like a pregnancy loss, at least I can speak from my experience with my jobs, like a pregnancy loss, like it would kind of be like overlooked. Like, okay, you took your 3 days off. Let's come back. Like, there's no like connection of like
what you really experienced.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and I shared it with the people on my team.
Mm-hmm.
So they knew. And those who were parents gave me a little bit more grace.
Yeah.
To those who were not, I think just, you know, you don't know what you don't know.
You don't know what you don't know, yeah.
And it's also, it is kind of so, such a sensitive topic that mm-hmm. I do think, like, people just don't know. It's not something that's something that we're not taught how to approach with anyone, you know.
Yeah. Personal, some people, I get it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I don't fault anyone, you know.
Yeah.
But I was ready to curse people out. So,
you know, so you had to like take a breath.
I wanted to keep my job.
Meditation or something. So how did your relationship with your son's father start to come to an end? Like what was going on that made you think this isn't going to work and I need to...
I mean, we were kind of living, we were certainly living together, but living, you know, I was working from home and our son was home and my mom would come and take care of him while I worked from home and my partner would go, you know, outside of home for a while. But when he came home, he was exhausted and might need to rest before we could really get things going to kind of have dinner and wind down the night. So his expectation for what he needed was one thing and mine was completely different. So, you know, and he would feel like he needed to see his friends on the weekend, maybe instead of doing something with our son and I was really just, I was kind of a little bit more family oriented because again, my friends had left largely.
We were still in New York City at the time.
So my friends were not, you know, easily accessible. You know, I'm thinking it's going to be more family kind of, not gathering, but certainly more time spent together.
Yeah.
And then like we stopped dating.
Yeah.
So the piece of us that was us, where we would have fun and go dancing or go to a bar or something, was not happening. And it was just like, what are we doing? I mean, you know, but listen, kudos to him. He's the one who pulled the plug first.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, all right. And which is not what I wanted. I still did want us to get back on track initially, you know. Our temperaments are different. Our expectations are different. Kind of punching into the wind for the relationship. Where then, like, we're arguing and my son can hear it. Or it just, you know, that's really not the life I want to live. I know that's not the life he wants to live. So it was time. But it was kind of a slow backing away from each other.
What was your experience like acclimating to no longer being in the relationship and being a single parent? Like, how long did it take to kind of that to be your new normal?
We like decided, and then we like 3 months later, my son and I moved.
Okay.
So we lived together for the 3 months, not together anymore, but still in the same home.
Oh,
not
my God.
Fun, you not know, not fun, yeah. Fun, but
you have to. You have to. I mean, you can't just.
Yeah, and the decision had been made, so there. I mean, there was clarity. It wasn't a will they won't they situation.
Right.
So that was fine, and then so once we moved, it was really about us kind of setting a schedule for when he would visit and what mm-hmm. that would look like, mm-hmm. and even that has changed since we, you know, since we moved. You know, what his involvement would be, you know, again, what the schedule would be, how often he would take our kiddo somewhere or not. But all of that has been kind of a progression and has had its ebbs and flows too. But, you know, it's still my kiddo and I every day, you know, I kind of set the schedule for him.
For your ex-partner, like for when he can come and come over. And
I mean, we discussed that, you know, the more the merrier. The door's always open, yeah. But, you know, that's for him to, you know, that's for him to figure out. I'm not, that piece of it is his responsibility and mine. As long as I leave the door open, you know,
yeah.
How many times you walk through it is one.
Yeah. It sounds like he's fairly consistent in some aspects. I mean,
I know what days of the week he'll be here. I know what days of the week he'll be here. You know, but it's like it's the frequency with which like he'll take our son overnight. That like those kinds of things. Because mm-hmm. when he comes over every day, that's fine. They're here.
Yeah, right.
Excuse me, but there's no mm-hmm. break for mom. You know, which is hard.
Yeah, it's hard
to be.
Yes, I know it well. It gets easier when your children are older, just right,
which is what I hear, which is what I
so much easier only because you're not, well, two things. You can go do things you want to do and just leave your child at home. And then, you know, they're old enough to be home alone. And that's wonderful. Yeah. And then also, I don't know, like once they get older, they have more autonomy to say like, oh, I do want to go over to dad's or I don't or whatever. Just, sure. I don't know. Like they have a phone, you know, my son has a phone. He can call, yes. text his dad, whenever they call their business. Yeah, so it gets easier in that way, but it's still, when they're little and it's like, for me at least, I always felt like sometimes I was like pandering to like his dad's schedule. Like, okay, I don't know if I can go, oh yeah, I had to change that and set up some boundaries for myself because he would text me and be like, oh, Friday, you know, Evan, whatever, come over, whatever. I'm going to have him the weekend, whatever. And then, I wouldn't hear from him like the rest of the week. And then it would be like Friday morning. And I'm like, are you going to have him? Are you not going to have him? What's going on? Because I want to make these plans. Because if I'm childless, maybe I want to go out to dinner with my friends or something. And I'm like waiting for him to like respond. And like, you know, it's like on his time schedule and, or, you know, when he wanted to be with my son, then I could go do something. And I don't know. I had to set some very strict boundaries, like if, you know, we need to have some sort of schedule and things like that. We never had any formal custody, so it's just like,
same,
I can't be hanging on a thread waiting for you to decide if you have the time. I don't know, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's tough. And there are times when it becomes infuriating because I do feel probably like a lot of moms, like we just have to do all of the guiding.
Yes.
You know, where, and you know, maybe it's different. And I have spoken to some single dads, and it is very similar. But I think that generally speaking, with moms, be they single or not, you know, there is just a lot of structure that we put in place because there are a million other things to do. And certainly yeah. this is the priority. So this is, you know, what gets done first. This is what gets, you know, your children. And, you know, where they are in your life and in the cycle of everything you have happening, they mm-hmm. are, they're the priorities. So they are what you determine first and foremost. Right. Like everything else really is very whatever. So, but that's the piece that I think that sometimes your partner or your former partner, whatever, just doesn't see, doesn't get that up. Or they rely on you to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's crazy how even in, you know, when you're no longer in the relationship, you're still kind of like doing things for them just because you have this, you know, the child, like, you know, you're still, I don't know how to explain it. Like if I, this back when like my son was in elementary school, if he had like a Christmas concert, the winter concert or recital or something. Sure. I know his dad doesn't know, is not paying attention to the emails, doesn't know. And I'm like texting him, like, don't forget, you know, Friday at 7, like stuff like that. Like, I've stopped doing that, one, because my son is older and there's less of that stuff. But also, like, for me, it's like, it's an added stressor for me. So you know, you have access to all the emails, all the school stuff. You know, you're on, your phone number's on the list. Like, I mean, you're the parent, you're the parents. You need to seek out the information about things like that, or talk to our son and see what stuff he has going on and find out when it's happening, where, you know. I'm not doing that anymore. Like, you're the other parent. You're a fully capable adult. If you want to be there for your son, you will figure it out. It's too much for me with everything else. I did that for years. I don't do it.
Yeah, it is a lot. And I'm still navigating that piece of it. Because I think I go back and forth with wanting, you know, someone to tag in, but also trying not to at least, or, and this is probably largely in my head, but I don't want to appear for my son like I'm bitter about anything. So I just want to be like, yeah, well, this is when everything's happening, you know, 5 o'clock on Friday. That's it. You know, I'll say, I didn't tell you, like, you know, so.
Right.
And I think that also in the end, that, you know, in the end, your child is going to know who has been consistent, who has, you know, put the pennies in the jar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not just the dollars. Yes. You know, the pennies add up too, you know.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, because the dollars are great, but who's the one putting the pennies in, and who takes your quarter and makes it shiny, you know, for you? So, like, all those things, I think that stuff is important too. I don't always feel like my ex gets that he should be putting, like, those pennies in too, because there are the little things that make our kiddo who he is. And there are the little things that you know, like, if you know he wants a sandwich with the crust cut off, if you know that, you know, he wants, I don't know, his mittens, not his gloves, like those little things, I think it's important for both of us to know, but that only comes to mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can't wait for me to tell you the time all the time.
Yeah.
So that's like the issue.
Yeah. With those kinds of things, for me, maybe because I'm a very black and white thinker, but I'm always like, well, if you spent more time with him, then you would know those.
Correct.
You know, like, that's how I'm like, you know what I mean? Or just even, I don't know, I remember my son being sick and sometimes being over at his dad's house, and he's like, well, like he doesn't want to take the medication, or he's having a hard time or whatever. And I'm like, you have to do this little trick to get him to take it or whatever. Like, if you have a consistent, maybe not daily because we don't live together, but you would already kind of know these things. I don't know. You know, that's where it gets frustrating, because it's like I think it's called weaponized incompetence, where they just like immediately depend on someone else for all the answers. And it's like with motherhood, learning how to raise a child, I had my family and help my mom, but like I had to figure it out. How can I get my child to take this medicine? I have to figure out the trick to get him to take it. I didn't have anybody to call to, you know, to maybe guide me through or whatever. And it's like, I feel like sometimes with men, you know, when you know, I don't know if it's like this for married women too. I would assume so, but I can't speak to that experience.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's worse. I was telling my friend when I was recording with her, I'm like, if I lived with a man, lived together in a home, I saw them every day and they were just sitting around kind of not doing anything while I did everything, I would be infuriated. I would be infuriated. It's better to be separate and just be doing it on your own, because you don't have that person in your face.
Raising one kid, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like having another child. I don't have time for that. I just don't. So I can't even imagine. It's like, to me, it's like if it's like connecting the dots. If you just spent more time with him, you'd probably know how to do this, or how to get him to do this, or what this looks like, or whatever. But they don't see it that way. They don't get it. I don't know. At least my son.
Also, we're all first timers.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, some things do come naturally, but some don't.
Some don't, yeah.
You know, and if this kid is suddenly some kind of basketball player, whiz, you know, baseball player, whatever, something like that that he's interested in, I'm going to figure out how to do right. something related to those sports or whatever he's interested in. So it is yeah. the same thing. If he yeah. is interested in whatever, if he needs whatever, you got to figure it out.
Yep. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen that. It's something I saw on social media a while ago. It was Reese Witherspoon. She was at some event. She was speaking and she said, when in the movies, you always see a scene where there's a woman and she's like, what are we going to do? I don't know how to, you know, I can't figure this out or something. And she's like, when in real life have you ever seen a woman or mother be like, what, super distressed? Like, what are we going to do? How do we figure it out? We just get in, put in motion and figure it out. You know, it's like, yeah. you just have to just, yeah, I don't know.
Where they do that.
So we kind of talked about it already, but you moved to New Jersey.
Yeah.
And we kind of talked about the reason why, you know, because life was, it felt different in New York City with all of your close friends kind of moving away. Did anything else contribute to your decision to want to move to New York? I mean, move to New Jersey. I'm sorry.
Really, that was really it. This is kind of wanted to, because there's also school is crazy in the city. Mm-hmm. And I knew I didn't want to have to figure out a lottery situation, any of the kind of the educational challenges that exist in New York City.
They do a lottery for public school? Or would that be private?
There's a lottery for some of the public schools. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just didn't want to do it. And I wanted to be in a town where, you know, we could kind of be in the community. And it's how I grew up too. So, you know, mm-hmm. it's, you know, just kind of taking a page from part of what I loved about where I grew up. Mm-hmm. I, you know, loved the town. So I wanted to get into a town that I loved where, you know, we could have a nice, diverse community, have a village that we could kind of all just be a mm-hmm. part of. Mm-hmm. And I totally have found that. I really love it here. So I'm like, we definitely made the right, you know, made the right yeah. decision. But yeah, I mean, I'm certainly glad that we decided to come here. But then mm-hmm. like as soon as, I mean, literally right before we moved out here, I was laid off from my job. Mm-hmm. But even with that, I still felt like it was the right decision. You know, it still felt like the right decision because of all the things that were beneficial to my son and to his development and to his growth mm-hmm. and to his community building. It's still, this is where we are supposed to be.
Yeah. So what is your relationship like with your ex-partner now? Co-parenting.
I think that we are managing really well. I mean, my son is doing really well. And he loves to see his dad, you know, mm-hmm. he loves to yeah. kind of be up under me. He's been sick for a few days, so he's been up under me for 7. He yeah. was back today, which was lovely. So yeah, I mean, so we're all super close, but it is still, you know, my ex and I having to check in and just make sure. And sometimes I just have to remind him that, you know, we're working together on this. Sorry, I just heard some noise. But we're working together. So make sure yeah. that he is the focus and make sure, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's I think that like co-parenting, being a single parent is like one of the biggest acts of humility because you have to put it all aside. It's not about you in the least at all. And you have to sometimes, you know, your mouth shut or not say anything or just move in a way to not yeah. I don't want to say cause conflict. I don't like conflict in no. ways, but like, you know what I mean? Fine. It's just like, yeah. it's not about you and you have to just drop it. Yeah. Exactly. And it can be hard. Yeah.
Woo.
Absolutely. Yeah. Do you guys do like holidays together or do you interact
yeah,
I mean, with your, his
here.
Family?
Yeah. He was what? Here. He was here on Thanksgiving. Picked okay. my dad up to come here for Thanksgiving.
Nice.
His
okay.
dad. His dad came from Florida to stay with us. So he stayed with my son and I
nice.
A couple days prior to Thanksgiving and then stayed a couple days after. So, I mean, we're pretty close. His brother's coming this weekend. And so he'll be here through Christmas Eve, I think. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, we're pretty yeah. close and pretty, you know, everything is about
yeah.
yeah. Everything's about him. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's really
interact well, and there's
yeah, in that way, yeah, in that way, I think that we're doing a good job, you know, and our kiddo sees us together, and kind of it's nice.
Yeah, that's great. So let's move on to everybody's dreaded topic. So dating. Have you dated at all since you've been single? What does that look like for you?
Very little. Yeah, very little. Mm-hmm. I was kind of seeing someone who was also a single dad, and he's someone I grew up with. Because also at this point, like, he just wasn't good at the planning part of it, which is really 99% of it at this stage. Wow. So if you can't kind of get on the schedule, we'll just kick you off the schedule.
Right. Yeah. You're just not going to be there. When you have kids and work, you have to intentionally plan time together.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And he was not good at that. And I am actually no longer volunteering to do all of that planning.
Amen. Yeah.
So I was like, cool.
Nice. Yeah. That's why I think a lot of women are just now really just being like realizing kind of how much effort or just maybe uneven expectations there were and there is in dating. And so I just don't have time to. I mean, once I'm in the relationship, if I'm, you know, it's a solid thing and we enter into dating,
I'll put
some effort into things. But like just in the initial in the beginning, like if you're not showing me that you're interested through your effort, through your actions, there's nothing here to talk about.
Have to do that.
Yeah. I'm perfectly fine at home reading my books in my bed at night. I don't need to be out with someone who's going to give me half of what I deserve. Yeah. Okay. Are you nervous at all for, like, if you were to meet somebody in the future and it would become serious?
Not, because I know what I will and won't deal with. I mean, that is probably the benefit to this kind of part of life and part of the journey, if you will. There's plenty that I'm not putting up with.
Yeah.
There's plenty. You know, if you don't do what you say you're going to do, cool. I'll see you, you know, bye. I just don't have to do it, which is lovely, because all of the, you know, from kind of, if I go back to before I had my son, all the games that I was willing to, you know, try to move through or understand or, you know, I'm just not. No, I would really rather do any number of things.
Yeah.
Play games or deal with someone who doesn't do what they say or say what they mean.
Yeah. I think too, and I was young, like 24 when I had my son, so I was younger, and I was still kind of in that, like, gathering my self-worth. What I will and won't make time for. I've never had a long-term serious thing. So there's never been anybody around my son like that.
Yeah.
But I think now that I'm older and I know my worth and part of my worth is I know, how do I word this? Like, I know how my son sees me. Like, we are their parents. Yeah. We are their mothers. We're held in a high regard to them as we should. And that's and because of that, because I know there's my son and just people that hold me in a high regard, like, why would I come down to somebody else's level if they don't see me like that? Or I don't know what I'm trying to say, but like, being a mom, like, you just have like a set of values and like, you know, what's the word? You know, like, how important you are, to, you know?
Wait, that is.
Like, I'm not wasting my time for somebody that doesn't see the value, you know?
No backpedaling.
We don't have to do that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is, I mean, I think that is lovely. I wish I would have kind of had this gumption, you know, still date.
I wish I had learned this at, like, even 30. I just turned 40.
What?
What was that?
Said it would have been lovely.
Yeah, it would have been amazing to just, like, be so much stronger in my sense of self and my boundaries. Yeah. You know, I have it now. Okay. So I guess the last question, what are your hopes for your immediate future, for yourself, for your son and your family? Where do you see yourself, like, in the next few years?
I hope that we just kind of continue to thrive and certainly kind of get with his dad and I, like, kind of get our boundaries really solidified. I would love to start dating again, but just because I do want him to see me happy in a relationship, because I want him to know kind of what it can look like. That's also a part of, you know, his development into manhood and how you treat a woman. You know, if he doesn't see it, I don't know how he's going to know it.
Yeah.
So just, you know, just like kind of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that would be kind of my, it's not a concern. It doesn't keep me up at night, but mm-hmm. it's certainly something that I hope that he gets to see me in.
Yeah.
You know, in our life, you know, in our journey yeah. together.
Yeah.
But yeah. Otherwise, I mean, you know, we're good. He's got a great family. He's got a lot of people who love him. That's the most important thing to me.
Yeah. You
know? We laugh all the time. Okay. We laugh every day. We keep that going.
Yeah. The best part about, for me at least, and I can, some of my other friends have teenagers too, is like as they get older, you mm-hmm. can really start to do things with them, go on like big trips and
yeah.
go out to dinner. And it's not like you're with a little kid. It's like you're having this conversation.
Right.
Like me and my son have our favorite restaurants like to go to. And
that.
Well, you know, movies coming out and we're like, oh, we want to go see.
Yeah,
I want to go with you, mom, to see the movie, you know, like yeah, things like that. Like, they're not your friend, you're the parent, but you have yeah. just like somebody to, you know, it's just part of building that relationship. You can yeah. do more things and you're not like in this caretaker role. It's just like you and your son are just.
Sure. Yeah. I love. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. Have you thought about at all having any more children, or is that off the table for you?
Oh, I think that's off the table now. And I did want, you know, and I spoke about it with my ex probably a year or so, maybe close to 2 years after my son was born, and he was not interested. And so I kind of didn't want to keep egging it on. It seemed like yeah. it wasn't going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I mean, and now probably if we had another kid, I think we would have been just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do think I'm a good mom, but you know, what's meant to be will be. So, you know,
yeah,
it's perfectly fine. It's perfectly fine. Yeah. You know, the one kiddo we have is fantastic. So,
yeah
awesome. Can't argue with that.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your time. This has been such a pleasure to speak with you
Likewise.
And get to know you. I say this on every episode I record, but the magic of social media blows my mind because I just made that post on the group. I mean, the last three people I've recorded with were through that post. And
is that right? That's amazing.
Yeah. It's been amazing. It's just, it's a blessing. I mean, it has its downfalls, but it's been pretty cool. Yeah, absolutely.
That's
so okay. Is there anything else you want to say before we wrap up? And
hey, listen, I love being part of your pod. I think that, you know, people don't give single parents, especially single moms, the credit for being the do everything people that we are. But I think that we should not be overlooked in any way, because our kids are always just as strong as any other kiddos in the
absolutely.
World, if not stronger.
Yeah.
Because they know how to be independent, because they watched us tackle a bunch of different things. So
awesome. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your time. It's such a pleasure. Hopefully we can have you. Somebody was saying, somebody left a comment on Spotify, like some of your guests, like have them come back in like a year and see like maybe how they're like.
I love that. I love that. Check in.
Yes. Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that's cool.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot, Veronica. Have a good one.
Bye.